Let us turn again to the prophecy of Isaiah in chapter 6, and we would read from verse 5 to verse 7. Isaiah chapter 6 and at verse 5, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. It's a remarkable vision that the prophet had, and we can bear in mind that it was in connection with him being commissioned as a prophet. And the lips of the prophet, obviously, are something significant. And his consciousness is of his lips in connection with sin. And it's his lips that are brought into a connection with the altar. But I'm sure we can say that what was true of his lips, though it had a particular relevance in Isaiah's case, but what was true of his lips are true of his whole person. His whole person was sinful. His whole person needed to be delivered from the power of sin and from the guilt of sin. And we can be sure that that's what happened. Yes, we need to be blessed. We need to be delivered in our whole person. And the Lord is able to do that. Sinner, you may be here today and you are feeling the guilt of your sin and you don't know where to go. Where else can you go? But to the one who has the words of eternal life, and who speaks with power to the souls of sinners. And they are here today who have been blessed for the sake of Christ. They've been drawn to him. And that is why they feel able to go to the Lord's Supper, a special ordinance, a special holiness about it, one might say. Well, here is Isaiah, and he needs God's blessing. We're not saying this is his conversion. That would be beyond what is reasonable. You see, he needs a special blessing. And whatever you feel about yourself today, go to Christ. He is able to supply all your needs. Although you may be sure that you're still outside the kingdom, go to Christ today. He's calling. He's calling you. You're to go to him. You may say, I can't. Well, there's many a petition in the Word of God for you to use. But the one that comes to mind just now is this, draw me. We will run after thee. You see, however unable you may feel to do anything spiritual, and that no doubt is true, you are unable of yourself to do anything is from yourself. But look away from yourself. Look to Christ. He has a full supply for all your needs. He had a full supply for all Isaiah's needs. And he went with Isaiah all his way through this world, drawing him on. And even if Isaiah's death was as gruesome as one might say tradition declares it to be, the Lord was with him. And the Lord took him safely to eternal glory. And if you will look to Christ, if you will trust in him in relation to all that is being said to you in the Word of God, that even one single portion of truth from the Word of God, even just one part of a sentence it may be, you see, there's enough there to bring you into the kingdom and set you on your way to everlasting glory. Well then, Isaiah had a vision of Christ. Now I say a vision of Christ. It seems to be God, the triune God sitting on the throne, high and lifted up. And what is said is indeed true in relation to all the persons of the Godhead. But you can look up John chapter 12 and verse 41, where the reference is to Isaiah seeing Christ's glory. It's his glory, but the context makes it clear that it is Christ. And he spoke of him. And that's what we have here. Getting some more information from the New Testament. Equally inspired, breathed out by the Holy Spirit for our good. Oh, let us be reading the Word of God. Let us be committing ourselves to the Lord. And let us notice particularly each of the three verses in turn, more or less. Let us sum it up like this. First of all, sin. Then said Isaiah, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He had seen the holiness of God, the holiness of the Son of God in particular. And he thought of himself, and he looked at himself, and what did he say? Sin. And he saw sin in particular in connection with his speaking. Second, there's a provision made. Verse 6, then flew one of the seraphim, an angel, or a particular one of a particular order of angels. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. You see, a connection is being made between Isaiah's unclean lips, his sinful speaking, and the provision made in the sacrifice. The provision made in the sacrifice. And there is a connection established between Isaiah and God's provision for sinners. And in the third place, verse 7, sin is removed. And he laid it on my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. There's a particular application of God's provision to this man and his particular consciousness of sin in connection with speaking. He is satisfied. Through a connection being made with God's provision and in the sacrifice, put it in New Testament language, a connection is made between the work of Christ and himself and his sin and his particular sin in connection with speaking. And you can generalize it altogether, all his sins. And here is how your sin can be taken away, your sin purged, your sin cleansed away. How? Why? Because of the provision that has been made in Christ and the blessings of that provision. Blessed to you. And we'll try and enlarge a bit on that. But remember, there is a very great deal in these three verses and in the context to try to deal in detail with everything is impossible in the time that we have. First, then, sin. Second, a provision made. Third, sin removed. First, sin. Sin in connection with speaking. And who of us is not guilty of that? Foolish words spoke. Ah, yes, and even foolish words that were never spoke. And there's sin in that. Yes. But you see, I say yes, sense of sin is intensified by a view of the holiness of God and a view in particular of the holiness of the Son of God. Yes, and we can be sure that the particular person of the Godhead who sent him out to be a prophet was the Son of God. It's weird to think of the Son of God who called the disciples and called them to go out to preach the gospel. And weird to think of the Son of God in particular as sending out preachers of the gospel in our own time, sending the Holy Spirit to apply some particular truth of the gospel in particular to them so that they feel the authority of Christ in sending them out. But you see, what we have just now is this. I say you're getting a view of the holiness of God, getting a view of the holiness of the Son of God in particular. As he hears in the vision, one seraph crying to another seraph and saying, holy, holy, holy. There may be a reference to the holiness of the three persons of the Godhead here. It may be an emphasis achieved by repeating three times over the word holy. Yes. Holy, holy, holy. Thrice holy, emphatically holy, absolutely holy. And you see, there's then a contrast. What's Isaiah? No doubt a godly man, no doubt a holy man, without a doubt. And yet, put the two one against the other. And what have you got? Unholiness. Unclean lips. I dwell among a people of unclean lips. I am a man of unclean lips. I speak sinfully. Or I might have gone on, I think sinfully. I act sinfully. And whatever else there might have been. You see, what's the standard? What's the standard God sets for us? It's this, be ye holy, for I am holy. What a standard. That we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength, and our neighbor as ourselves, for ourselves. No wonder we find the words, we sin and come short continually. But what I want to stress for a moment is, you might see somebody, and you know it's a holy person. And you might not be conscious of any sin in them. And yet, they're coming short. However godly they are, they're coming short of the absolute holiness, the absolute standard of holiness that is required of us. Where does that leave? You might feel that you have to say, a quick road or a quick path down the broad road that leads to destruction. And yet, that's not the case in connection with those who have passed from death into life. They're not on the broad road. They've been delivered from that. And yet there's still sin in them. That's the thing. There's still sin in them until they take their last breath in this world. There's imperfection all the way. Yes, but they're still godly. Those I'm particularly speaking of, those who have been delivered from the wrath to come, they're still God. If they've believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and there's been the beginning of the work of the Holy Spirit in their soul, they're godly. And Isaiah was godly. And yet, he has this consciousness of sin. Now there's the commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And I'm referring to that because I see his consciousness was of sin and speaking. I'm not saying he was an out and out liar or anything like that. I think we can be almost certain that that wasn't the case. He has learned the pure language that Zephaniah was the messenger of. When he used these words, a pure language, a holy language, not one that was still speaking falsely. And yet there's this matter of coming short of the glory of God. I'm a man of unclean lips. There's that filthiness. I don't mean it in relation to the seventh commandment, but Sin is filthy, you see. Sin is defiling, however restrained it might be, however held back by the work of the Holy Spirit. There's a filthiness in sin. And the Lord would teach Isaiah that. Yes. But we might just take this into account just now. The ninth commandment calls for perfect sincerity in what we say. And where was the sincerity among the Jews of that time? This is how it is expressed. This is what the Lord would say. This people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips they do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. It's just an outward thing, not affecting the heart. So there's an inadequacy about it. And the Savior was repeating these words. There shall I say, a man of unclean lips, he confesses. What about ourselves? Defiled by sin, even in our speaking. Even on the way to heaven, it may be. Well, he needs a remedy. And he got a remedy. And he has been perfectly blessed through that remedy. He's in heaven now. So we go on to consider the provision made. And it was this. One of the seraphim flew to him, and he brought a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. What was happening at the altar? There was a sacrifice being offered, a sacrifice to God because of sin. And notice particularly the action of the seraphim was bringing about a connection between him and the sacrifice. The benefits of that live coal, it was burning. It wasn't a dead coal that had gone out. It was a live coal. It was what was being used. Perhaps we could call it a live cinder. It would be wood that would be used to burn the sacrifices. Now, that's not really an important detail, but it's the actuality of it. It was what was used to burn the sacrifice. That's what he needed a blessing from. Of course, we're to think of what this was a picture of. There was the burning of the sacrifice. And the beast that was being offered as a sacrifice, it was a type of the one who was to come in the fullness of time, the one whose holiness was so impressing, Isaiah, the one whose holiness. And it must be this perfectly holy being that must come into the world to offer up a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice and reconcile sinners like Isaiah to God. Yes. And if you are to get to heaven, you must get a blessing for your own soul from the sacrifice of Christ. and there must be contact made between yourself and the sacrifice. Yes. Contact made between yourself and the one who offered himself a sacrifice for sin, a sacrifice that could really take away sin, which no Old Testament sacrifice could. Those who were seeking a blessing, those who were receiving a blessing, were being enabled to look on beyond the outward pictures, the outward types, looking on into the far distance of the future, to Christ Jesus, the Son of God, who came into the world to save sinners. Oh, what a glorious work. We're to worship. That's what we're to seek. When we're about the word here, we're to seek grace to worship. When we're about the word here, sorry, what I meant to say was, when we're about the Lord's Supper here, God willing, we're to seek grace to worship. There's a glorious one being set before us, however inadequate in the human level, how altogether adequate and much more is the work of the Holy Spirit in applying the truth to our souls, and may that be done. You'll be asking for that the Holy Spirit would be given, that the Lord of glory would give the Holy Spirit to work in your own soul. You've come to be under the word, and that's good. But the great matter is that we'd get a blessing for our souls, that it wouldn't be a vain thing for us. And in a real sense, it is not a vain thing to come where the word is preached. However inadequate the preach, you see, there's complete adequacy. That's a very weak expression. But you see, there's a perfect provision in the work of the Holy Spirit to apply the truth to our soul. That's what we should be wanting. That's what we should be asking for. Be asking for that as you listen. These are vital matters. You might say, in connection with what you hear about Christ, there'll be a convenient season where I will call for the work of the Holy Spirit. Don't make promises that you cannot keep. Cast yourself upon the mercy of the Lord. Cast yourself on the power of the Holy Spirit, who is able to apply the truth to your soul. He is able. No preacher is able. You're most certainly not able yourself. But go back to this. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It's a faithful saying. It's worthy of all acceptation. Look to Christ now. Though you would have looked to Christ 1,000 times in the past, over the years, look to him now. You may have come to church today with some painful consciousness of sin, your sin. But you see, Christ is freely offered to you in the gospel. And that makes a connection between you and the work of Christ. It spoke about the connection. Well, there's a connection. You see, you might have a sinner, and the sinner may be yourself. And you're hearing about Christ. You're hearing about his work. You're hearing that he came into the world to save sinners. And it seems 1,000 miles away. Everything that's said may be true, scriptural. And yet, you need a connection between yourself and what is said about Christ as the Savior of sinners. And what is that connection? It's the free offer of the gospel. You see, the preacher speaks about Christ giving himself a ransom for many. He speaks about Christ as the one on whom the Father laid the iniquity of sinners. Over the centuries, throughout the generations, in every part of the world, sinners and their sin is laid upon Christ. And Christ comes into the world. That's when that guilt was laid upon him. The guilt of others were to be saved. And he carries that guilt as far as Calvary. And he is nailed to the cross. He is bearing sin. He is left to hang on the cross. And he is bearing sin. He is making a provision. These truths are proclaimed in the preaching. And there is still, in the feeling of the sinner, a huge distance between himself and herself and the great and glorious work of the Savior. Let me just emphasize it again. A connection needs to be made. You see, there was the seraph who took the tongues and grasped with the tongues a coal and carried it to Isaiah. And we'll carry on from there in the under the third head, God willing. But I'm just trying to emphasize this just now. The connection being established between the sinner and Christ. The truth about redemption has been declared, but no connection has been made as yet, let us say. But the time comes, and the preacher calls to the sinner in the free offer of the gospel, a call to come, for the sinner to come without money and without price, poor and needy, guilty. How can he get a blessing? How can his sin be purged? How can any good be done? Well, this is for you to take. That's the essence of the offer of the gospel. It's said before you, take it. Take it, sinner. As John Duncan, that godly man, and who expressed things in a very remarkable way. The context is different, as I'm quoting the words just now. But you see, that's the essence of the free offer of the gospel. Take it, sinner. It's suitable for you. It's being presented to you. It's being brought to you in the preaching of the gospel, the great truths about Christ as the Savior of sinners. There's a connection being made. You can put it in these words. Take it, sinner. It's for sinners, not for good people. It's so that they may be made good through the benefits that flow from the work of Christ. Yes. They're applied to the lips of Christ, lips of the prophet. I say, they're applied to his lips. The blessings of the gospel are applied to the lips of the sinner that believes. The benefits of the gospel, the saving power of the gospel, are applied to every part of the sinner. Yes. Forgiveness complete at that moment of a change of nature. When the Holy Spirit works in the soul, faith is created, and faith is enabled to lay hold of Christ. When this connection has been established, oh sinner, take it. Do not turn away from it. Do not go on about your inability. The removal of your inability is contained in the complete work of Christ. He died for sinners so that they might be made willing and able to embrace Jesus Christ as he is freely offered in the gospel. Well, we have a provision made, and much more could be said. But let us go on to this, sin removed. Yes, sin removed. He laid it upon my mouth and said, that's the living coal, the burning coal. It is laid upon Isaiah's mouth, and this is said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. This hath touched thy lips. That's the particular need he saw. And of course, that is related to him being sent out as a prophet. His unholy lips, his imperfectly sanctified lips, would proclaim the words that were given him from heaven. The words of Isaiah 53, for instance. Yes. He spoke these words about the one that was to come. Remarkable words, are they not? They weren't Isaiah's words. They were the words of the Holy Spirit, which Isaiah was used to transmit under the inspiration of the Spirit. He was used to transmit these words into this world so that the sinners even today might get good from them. And the words came to Isaiah's ears. Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away. His guilt was taken away. His sins were forgiven. He was justified. He was accounted as whole. He was to be treated as holy, as if he had never sinned, as if he had always kept the law of God perfectly. Yes, and his sin purged. He was cleansed. And holy though he was, and holy though his lips were, and holy though every part of him was, yet he is cleansed. There's more cleansing to be done. But you see, what a great matter that initial cleansing by the Holy Spirit is. That initial work of the Holy Spirit Yes. It's the beginning of cleansing. The sinner given holiness, which will never be removed. And the work of cleansing will go on until that soul is fit for heaven. And in an instant, you might say, he is brought within the gates of heaven, and he will never go out. Though perhaps that is not interfering with the basic truth, but it comes to my mind the fact of the gathering of all at the judgment seat of Christ. But we can leave that on one side just now. But you see, we might think of the words in Isaiah 43, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. I am the one blotting out thy transgressions. And to every child of God here, the Lord is saying, I am going on with that work of blotting out your transgressions. I will not remember thy sin. I will not remember it in such a way as to hold it against you, as to demand punishment. You see, the punishment was meted out at Calvary. That's why the Lord can speak in these terms to his children when he applies the truth to them by the Holy Spirit, impressing it upon their souls. And that may be stronger or weaker, the sense that the child of God is given. Yes, but I am he that goes on blotting out transgressions. You see, a connection established, a connection continued, a connection repeated, you might say, so that at the end of the day, the sinner will be brought with gladness great and mirth on every side and to the palace of the king to abide there forever, free from guilt, free from sin. A work of salvation completed as to the soul in the first instance. And there's the promise of the resurrection. There's the promise of the reuniting of body and soul on the day of the resurrection. The whole work of grace for the whole person will be yet complete, and it's all for the sake of Christ, who loved each of his people and gave himself for them. And see that woman who came where Jesus was in the house of Simon the Pharisee. Simon marveling that he would accept the worship of that woman. And the Savior assures him, first of all, that this woman had her sins pardoned. Sins that were large in the Pharisee's mind as he thought of the woman. But the Pharisee was wrong. Not but that he was right as far as his thought of the sins she had committed were concerned, but this, that she was still a sinner in the sense of being prominently a sinner. And in any case, all her sins up to that point had been forgiven. And he told her that. That's a further mercy. It's a great mercy for sin to be forgiven. It's a greater mercy to be given a sense of it. And the Lord is willing to do that as far as he sees it to be good. He understands everything. We don't. But we can be putting all these things before him and seeking to get something out of the wells of salvation, a further drink out of the wells of salvation. He is able. He is able to supply all our need. And that's what he will do. There may be things we want, things we ask for. And it's not a sin to be asking. But you see, the Lord will give what he sees to be good for his people. For the sake of Christ and what he has done, for the sake of that connection, one might say. It's the other ways of approaching it, like thinking of the covenant. But you see, all I'm saying just now is this. The connection has been established. Faith has been given. The sinner has been justified for the sake of Christ. The saved sinner is going on in his way, going on in God's way. And he will be brought at last with gladness great. Yes, the whole work will be finished. Yes, but what I was going to mention was this, the continuing work of Christ as the high priest in heaven. The connection has been established to the sacrifice, to Christ himself. And Christ is the great high priest as the intercessor within the veil. And we read in Hebrews 7 that Christ is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. The connection is maintained. They're still deriving benefit from the sacrifice of Christ and always will be. But you see, there's this manifestation of the work of Christ making continual intercession for them, setting before the throne of God the merits of the work that he accomplished. The work that he not only began, but the work that he finished. What does the sinner need now? You can give your own answer to that. But you see, there is Christ. And you pray. You pray to him. You set your needs before. You set your needs before. How will that reach the ear of God? You're perhaps concerned about your sin. I'm a man of unclean lips. Well, think of this. As you pray with your unclean lips, Christ, as the intercessor, presenting your petitions, and your petitions purified. The unclean lips, as I think I can say in a sense, but the uncleanness, the sin that there is in your petition and your presenting of the petition, it doesn't reach the ear of God, in a sense, anyway. And that is because of the way they are brought to the ear of God. It's through the intercession of Christ. And the intercession of Christ purifies his child's petitions from all the iniquity of their lips. Yes. How can my poor, sinful, badly motivated petitions reach the ear of God? It's through the work of Christ, who has been appointed mediator. And he is mediator between the child of God with his unclean lips and the God of perfect holiness in heaven. Present your petitions, whatever they are, before the throne of God for the sake of Christ. That's your safety. You may say that your unclean lips provoke the holiness of God and provoke the wrath of God. And looking at the wrath of God was something I wanted to do in connection with what has been said, but I must leave it now. But you see, your unclean lips, pouring out your petitions, or even a weak petition that you can hardly express. Well, think of the intercessor. When your prayer is so poor, so weak, so polluted, your lips unclean. But there is this, the perfection of the intercession, presenting the petitions of people in this world before God, and their pure petitions, holy petitions, when they are presented to God, and they're presented on the basis of the finished work that he accomplished in this world. Yes, their sin is purged. And it must just be a word or two now, but I referred to the pure language in Zephaniah 3. Then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. What are you doing to serve God? And you may answer, I'm afraid it's nothing. Well, read again Zephaniah 3 at verse 9. You can do it when you go home. And you'll see that calling upon the Lord is associated with serving him with one consent. Though you feel that you're not able to do anything in this world in the service of God, if you're praying and praying for the cause of Christ in this dismal day, you're serving God. You're carrying out his purposes. Well, seek grace to go on. And you see, I want to leave this with you. From the end of Psalm 145, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever. My mouth shall speak the praises of God, not only in heaven, if you are looking to Christ, however weak, and in this world also. Yes. There will be a blessing of God, a praising of God in heaven, most certainly, and it will be perfect. It will certainly not be done with unclean lips, but with lips purified, perfect. But let all flesh bless his holy name. And there's a plentiful field to reap what you can offer up in praise to the great God of heaven for the sake of Christ. Yes, sinner, who cannot be included by your own conscience. Your own conscience prevents you from speaking of your own, you being described as a child of God. Still, you are under the gospel. You have heard about Christ. You have heard of the connection between you and Christ. You are called to look to Christ, to trust in him. You, sinner though you are, for the sake of the sacrifice. And there's that connection in the free offer of the gospel. Let me quote that offer again. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I, the good shepherd, I will give you rest. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy, Lord. We are poor and needy. Give us grace. Bless thy word. Apply it to our souls. Oh, grant to hear the cry of the needy, whoever it might be that in the secret of their souls were sending up a petition to thee, seeking to do so today. Grant to bring that petition. We would ask the Savior to bring that petition in thine intercession before the Father. Oh, may that be done. May it be done all over the world. May the whole earth be filled with thy glory. Bless us in what remains of this service. Oh, keep us from evil. Keep us from our foolishness. Keep us from our unclean lips and all the consequences. Oh, have mercy. Do us good. Cleanse us inwardly. Make us thankful. Wash away our sin. And be with us. Be with us at this service. Do us good for Jesus' sake. Amen.